The WBAI Premium Hotline is now 347-529-6664. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Leave a message on the hotline, and a volunteer will address your concerns and get back to you as soon as possible. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
You're listening to WBAI in New York City, and this is Earth at Midnight. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
any load too big to carry. Yeah. Come to the river where the healing waters flow. There will be mountains to climb and valleys dark as the night and roads you have never known. Follow the answers to the questions in your soul. Down by the water where the river gates control.
And hello again. This is Catherine in studio with
Paulette Spencer.
And we are here sharing this evening with you. So I want to say thank you and welcome for joining us tonight here on WBAI Radio. And we have some interesting news, I suppose, to share with you. And I figure we might as well start at the top. Go ahead, Paulette.
Well, we are going to be holding a public tribute for Robert Knight, in which we'll celebrate his life and the 35 years of his formidable work at WBAI. And the program will take place on Saturday, March 28th at 7 p.m., and we'll be having a reception that starts at 6:30. The venue will be the Riverside Theater, which is located inside of Riverside Church. And seating is limited, although no one will be probably turned away. It's highly suggested that you register through our Eventbrite link, which will be posted on the WBAI webpage shortly.
Excellent. And cool. What if a person doesn't find the Eventbrite, could they send you an email possibly?
Sure.
To reserve? Where should they send that?
They could send that to Robert's former email address, which is thenightreport@gmail.com, and I will respond.
And can you tell us a little something about the event? You know, I know things are still gelling, but what's in place so far?
We have a fairly full, robust program, and we're going to be featuring the live performances of the pianist Terry Waldo, and also the pianist and composer David Amram, mm-hmm. and gospel pianist-composer Mr. Roy Jennings. And we'll have Dennis Bernstein, who's flying in from KPFA in California, and quite a few other guests.
Randy Credico.
And Randy Credico. How could I forget Randy Credico?
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be quite an entertaining and fun. It is indeed a celebration.
Absolutely.
So the idea is to just celebrate the life accomplishments and work of Robert Knight. And for those people who knew him personally, welcome to come. For those of you who knew him from the radio, you're welcome to be there. And it will be a way of all of us sort of communing with each other and having this celebration. I think it's going to be fun, maybe poignant, maybe a touch sad, but you know, it's beautiful when you can really celebrate someone in a way that honors their contribution into the world, and I'm looking forward to it. So
am I.
Thanks. That should be great. And I know those of you who would have been tuning in to hear Earthwatch with Robert Knight will be very happy to enjoy this event, because there's also going to be some film clips and stuff of some of his forays into the video world, the video media.
Yes, indeed.
And the television media. And so that should be interesting if we can play some of that, and there'll be tributes, and it'll be a great, great time. Anyway, we're going to go to another piece of music, and then we'll be back with you. So stay tuned. You're listening to WBAI in New York City.
Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, and I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth, but none of them along the line know what any of this is worth.
Quite contrary, no one to help share my worries. Nothing more I can do, all alone and sometimes blue.
Yeah. Yes, I traveled over the highway and I traveled in the air. Couldn't find him anywhere.
From the mountains through the valleys, from the desert to the plains, to the deepest caves of ocean, traveled over canyon again.
Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes going round and round. Nothing more I can do all alone, and sometimes blue.
I look forward to that day when the right one comes my way. Nothing more I can do all alone, and sometimes blue.
I'll turn the radio on, my radio on.
A meditation I'm going to share with you. It's called the Perfect State of Being Meditation. And this is a meditation, one might think of it as a prayer perhaps, and it was given from a reading in which the source identified itself as cosmic awareness. I am moving towards my perfect age, my perfect maturity in my body, wherein I am at my very best, having my best strength, my best health, and my most beautiful state of being. And this is happening to me and will continue happening to me, whether or not I believe it. My belief has nothing to do with this. It is occurring because I have tapped into the cosmic energy of here and now, which automatically moves me to this perfect state of being. I am always in the here and now, and therefore I am always moving to correct myself to become the perfect state of being that I am intended to become as a cosmic being. In this perfect state of being, I attune to that which is immortality. This is happening whether or not I believe it, in spite of my thinking. Even when I move back into thinking three-dimensionally, I will continue to move in this direction of attuning to my perfect state of being. This will happen whether or not I believe it, because having tapped into the universal moment of now, I am in touch with cosmic being of myself. And this creates all the corrections that are necessary to move me into perfection. I am no longer hypnotized by the belief that time moves and drags me toward a dysfunctional destiny. I am instead floating in a perfection of cosmic energies that make corrections on my being and leads me into my perfect state. Wherever I go, whatever I am doing, that perfect state in my being is always there, and I can notice it at any time, regardless of what I am doing, regardless of where I am, regardless of what is happening around me. I can check on it, and it is always present with me. I have stepped into the cosmic energies and reside therein on a permanent basis. And these cosmic energies move me toward perfection, perfection in body, perfection in age, perfection in beauty, perfection in spirit. And I am always moving toward perfection. And I am always moving toward perfect emotional balance and toward perfect love. My presence in this state of perfection as I move more and more toward it with each passing moment affects others and helps them also to move toward their own perfection. The vibrations that I float in emanate from me and touch the vibrations of others who are not yet aware of their perfect being and help them to move also in the same direction toward perfection. And so I thought that that was a lovely concept to share with you. It's called the Perfect State of Being Meditation. And it's the timeless here and now that this writing is speaking of. And it gives us an opportunity to tap into the underlying cosmic strength and cosmic forces that are available to us to heal and to restore our energies and our being within the world. And also, as we uplift our own being, it helps us to transform and to assist those who are around us and that we come into contact with. So for me, it has a lot to do with spiritual healing. Even though it's speaking of the body, it's speaking of the body as the perfect expression of your spirit. That's what I think. Did you have any thoughts about that?
Yes. I think of the word perfect, and I go back to, I think my thinking as a musician, and when we look at perfect, we understand it as the concept of complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so each time you said perfect, I thought of complete.
Huh.
And so there might be some sense of a synonym, perhaps.
That makes sense to me, because in order to be perfect, one would need to be complete. And if one were complete, that would lead to some level of perfection, I guess. And what I like about this particular, you know, I see it in many ways as an affirmation. And what I like about it is that it affirms for you, no matter what your conscious mind is thinking, because very often when we do positive thinking or affirmations, we enter into a conflict because our life experiences and our trainings as we grow up leave us in a state where we don't feel perfect, where we feel challenged, where we feel like, oh, well, I can't really do that, or this is too much for me, or I feel challenged by this, and I'm not always happy, and sometimes I think negative thoughts about myself or about others. And so what this is saying is it's laying down an affirmation and allowing you to communicate to your subconscious mind that no, whatever I'm thinking, whatever my conscious mind is thinking, these are my actual instructions of reaching that state of, healing and nourishment and fulfillment. So I think that makes it powerful in a way that other affirmations don't have. So it's interesting.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the reasons I actually shared that with you because I found it among some of the material that I had offered during the fund drive. I did a what I called a historical flash drive, and on it were some 200 documents, books, articles, all kinds of information, and a lot of it's all based on a cultivation of the spirit, as well as finding a deeper understanding of history. And so this was on one of the documents, and I thought I would share it this evening. It's really nice. It's from a series called Cosmic Awareness, and Cosmic Awareness is actually channeled material. And so what it is that someone will go into a trance of some kind and open themselves up to a non-physical entity speaking through them. And it's probably something that most people wouldn't do, because there's always the danger of channeling an entity that is not of the highest good. So it's not something that I would necessarily advise people to do, but I have seen a lot of material that comes through with a great deal of, you know, common sense, purity, and there feels like a real what's the word? You know, you could just feel the gentleness and the love in the material itself, and you can feel the wisdom in the material itself. And so I have discovered that there are various materials that I would call channeled, but, you know, the Bible is a channeled document. And so it's not like the alleged God took up a pen and started writing. No. And even the person who is known as Jesus or Yeshua didn't actually write anything down. And so, you know, a lot of the material that people accept as absolute truth and absolute gospel has no tangible source. And so I find that very interesting about the Bible. Some of it is just a compilation of other myths, and some of it is a reinterpretation of the spiritual teachings of the time. But it's claimed that it was directly channeled through, what was it? Was it Abraham who went up into the up on the mountaintop and brought down the Ten Commandments? So I tend to explore this kind of material, and I find that a lot of it is very interesting and very useful. And, you know, I consider it to be a real thing. I understand that there is an invisible world, there is a spirit world, and that beings continue to live beyond the physical realm, and souls exist and are born before being merged into the physical body. And we don't really have a tangible scientific explanation. In fact, science would have us believe that that's not the case. So I explore. I think it's a wonderful thing to look and explore in a very wide spectrum of the kind of teachings that are available. And so that's where that came from. Interesting. And truth be told, I also channel. You know, I don't channel higher entities, so-called. Unless I would consider my higher self a higher entity. I suppose that's a higher entity, but it's my higher self. So Paulette is looking at me going, okay. Okay, no comment. Yeah, I'm like that. I just put myself out there pretty nakedly when it comes to spiritual understanding, because I believe that it has a real bearing on not only our own existence, but the future of the planet.
And I do think that the people that you bond with, where you're looking at, you're really bonding through a sort of energy.
Yeah.
That bond doesn't actually disappear after either one of the person is no longer in the physical world. And I think that that may be part of what you're describing.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it, you know, that relationships can be eternal.
Absolutely.
If they're good ones,
yes.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We don't want an eternal relationships that are not good. That would be sad. But I bet that's what karma is about. You know, it's like if you are living your life and you built up some karma in which you've have some kind of exchange with other beings, it may be that you come back into life with those beings to resolve that karma, and that could be considered a kind of negative attachment, or it could happen that way, I believe.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
I'm when I think of the state of becoming, you know, this what you're talking about, perfection, and
yeah.
What I'm seeing is completion. It may be a way of inching closer to that ultimate state.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, this is kind of what a lot of the religions talk about, you know, like Buddhism, you know, non-attachment, not being attached to things, because as you're attached to certain things, like if you're attached to being successful or being famous or having a lot of money or even attached to poverty, a lot of people, you know, have vows of poverty. But when you're attached to a particular thing, that attachment can hold your spirit, so that as you reincarnate into another life, that it will unfold into that life in some fashion. Who knows how, but it, you know, what that would mean. And, you know, maybe if you had a vow of poverty in one life, maybe the next life you'd have to balance it out with extreme wealth. I wouldn't mind that, but I think probably that perfection is, rather than having the attachment to the things of the world, it's more having that attachment to that perfection of spirit, that perfection of love, that perfection of, you know, compassion, understanding. You know, all the good virtues, to me, would be more valuable to have an attachment to than worrying about fame or what somebody thinks or trying to live my life according to some earthly value system. You know, I think that's what it means to be moving along a spiritual path as opposed to a material path, though they are the same. Because if you don't have some material means, you don't have the luxury of being spiritual, because you have to struggle to survive, and you don't have that luxury to sit back and contemplate and meditate things, because you might have mouths to feed, you might have children, you have rent to pay. So when you're trapped in that kind of financial struggle, it can detract from one's ability to reach into a higher spiritual state. So there needs to be a balance.
Definitely. I think that it's goes without saying that it's important to be able to sustain yourself.
Yeah.
And I think what you're implying is that some people have different ways of defining themselves.
Yeah.
Whether you define yourself through something that's external or your ability to be conscious and conscientious and self-aware.
Exactly. And and in order to be self-aware, I do not believe that one need be impoverished or suffering in any way. I think life was meant to be joyful. The purpose of being here is to have a joyful experience. We have a call coming in. Should I take a chance? Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
Oh, okay. Can I speak to Catherine?
This is Catherine speaking.
Hi, Catherine.
I'm here with Paulette.
Hi, Paulette.
Hello.
Oh, I love you both.
Thank
it's
you.
It's so wonderful to talk to you.
Well, what would you like to share?
I really miss Robin. I wanted to know, could I send a money order for the event? It is my daughter's 18th birthday. I'd love to go.
It's a free event?
The event is actually free, though there is something in the works to create a
donation,
an archive and stuff like that. So maybe there would be an opportunity at the event if you wanted to offer.
What is the address?
It's the Riverside Church. It's 91 Claremont Avenue.
Claremont?
Yeah, and that Claremont is the back of the church. The front is would be Riverside Drive, but when you come into the back, you just walk straight back, and to the right is the theater.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Catherine, it's between 120 and 122nd Street, I think it is.
120?
And 122nd Street. It's the Broadway local to 116th Street. I used to teach there. That's how I know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Catherine, I've been listening to your meditation. It's been wonderful. You know, I'm a wounded empath. I have a knee injury,
mm-hmm.
and I take medication, and that limits my ability to do my work, and I isolate myself because if I shake a person's hand, I can feel their energy and their aura, and I've had this ability since I was 2 years old in my crib when I was crying to Jesus Christ to bring me back to heaven.
Well, you know something, very often when we have these talents at a very young age, we become very vulnerable because we don't fully understand it. We don't know how to protect ourselves.
That's exactly what
and
I'm doing.
But as we get older, we can learn to protect ourselves, and this is probably your knee injury is your system as a last resort trying to find a way to protect you.
You think so? I always consider it as an injury from a dark side.
No, it sounds to me more like that your empathic nature became too intense because you weren't shielding yourself, and your subconscious or your higher self wanted to limit your interactions so that you wouldn't continue to cause psychic damage. So you do an injury, you have to withdraw, you start to isolate. And so I think probably as you go deeper into and learning how to protect yourself psychically, then you would...
Hi, Catherine.
How?
Yes. I'm living with a very dangerous man.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem, but it's probably not something that I would feel comfortable over the air talking, because it's, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of thing, it's very personal to the individual.
Oh yeah.
So if you drop me an email.
I can't email.
You can't email?
No, hon. I can only use my phone and my cell phone.
Okay, well, I'll give out a number later in the program, and then you take it down and give me a call later.
Catherine, can I tell you what led up to my knee injury? Please, before you go.
Very quickly.
It was the suicide death of my only 23-year-old son, Douglas. And that's why I lost the ability of my knee. Oh, it's such a deep, deep suffering and loss of him.
Wow. Well, that's very unfortunate, and I'm sorry about that. So there's a lot of woundedness that you're coping with. A lot of woundedness.
I want to heal for my only daughter.
What?
I want to heal for my only 18-year-old daughter.
Okay. Well, I think that this is something that you can do.
I love you, Catherine.
Okay.
I always listen to you, and I miss Robin so much.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
I feel him still with me. I hear his voice when I lay down on Wednesday night.
Wow.
It's so profound.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Please give out that number.
I will. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
A lot of pain in the world. Wow. There's a lot of pain. Well, if you'd like to call, you may join us at 212-209-2900. And perhaps you have an experience you would like to share or some advice. The music we heard today opened with Earth by Michelle Indiocello. And we heard Come to the River by Diane Reeves from her Art and Survival CD. And we heard All Along the Watchtower by Brothers and Sisters. Turn My Radio On by Walela. And Thy Will Be Done by David Darling. Sweet River by David Darling. Stairway to the Stars by Sonny Rollins. I think we heard that. But I don't think we heard Natural Mystic. So let's hear a little of that, and we'll be back in a moment. WBAI in New York. This program is Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Paulette Spencer.
Hello there.
And I also host a program, well, called Heart of Mind. And currently that program airs on Mondays at 1 p.m. And I myself an energy healer, spiritual doula, and Qigong teacher. And so with that in mind, I'm going to give out that phone number as promised, 347-480-1694, 347-480-1694. And you can leave a message, and I will be able to return that call. And for those of you who want to tune into this moment and join us on the air with your phone call, your energy, your thoughts, you can do that by calling 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. And I have more material that I could read, but I would much rather receive phone calls. I think that that's much more interesting. What really attracted me about the document that I read from, just that piece, that little meditation piece, was that it was really looking at, it was a document called The Journey of the Soul. And it was talking about how some souls self-destruct. And it was interesting because, and it was talking about how souls are born, and also how we sort of migrate through many lifetimes and reincarnation. And as you were speaking earlier about how we can have some kind of karmic impact from one life to another, and the way this article described it as, say that you were spending time on a beach and it ended up being a joyful experience with the surf and the sand and the sun and the, you know, the aromas of the water and just a beautiful experience, and you could conceivably form an emotional attachment to that particular experience. And what the article describes is that the soul doesn't always remember, you know, in the reincarnation process, the experience itself, doesn't remember the people in that experience, but they will remember the emotion, they will remember the feeling. And so if this person who had this exquisite experience at the beach, in their next incarnation, may be drawn to the water, may want to go to the shore, even though they may not be anywhere near a beach, they'll still have that desire because they'll have a memory of the joy that they experienced at that time. And just as easily, it could be the reverse, that if a soul has an experience in which they are traumatized, they could conceivably in their next life be attracted to yet another trauma of the same kind, because there's this energetic magnetism that travels with the soul based on the emotions. And so I thought that was really very interesting. And it spoke of how souls can lose and begin to disintegrate because they begin to accumulate many negative experiences, and they begin to lose their sense of compassion or lose their sense of kind of the qualities that would make one experience a more radiant, uplifted life, begin to disintegrate, and the persons can potentially become spiral sort of into this negative expression over and over and over again. And what I thought was really interesting is because I wonder sometimes how it is that people in the world can be so evil. You know, like the people of ISIS who are beheading people. I mean, what does it take for a person to get to that level of being able to cause harm? And so it made me wonder if this wasn't in some measure part of what was going on. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to speak with the program, the lady who's speaking. And
yeah, you are live on the air right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue is that I have some kind of a pathology issue that basically I'm dealing with all my life. In fact, in matters of my sister was abused by my father, and she has some kind of behavior and tried to present her life and try to behave in the sense of try to bring all her brothers down because that what happened. I don't know that that happened, and she confessed to me years and years ago. And I would like to know how to conduct the issues of how can heal myself in a sense of, because I suffer because of she been through that, and she, the whole family don't know what's happening. And I try to basically try to see I can address the situation, and you know, I'm a poor guy, and my father's side is a part of my family, from my father, who were very poor, but the other side, they very rich, so they basically denigrate us as a poor people, and we are the worst. So I don't know
how to heal from that situation.
Spirit, why?
Yeah. Well, that's another difficult one, but I think it's important for you to begin to.
I went to therapy for it, and I tried to address the situation so I could help my sister in the same way, but she don't like to talk too much about it. When my father passed away, and she's hiding that in her soul, and she tried to basically behave the way that our fault, that it's hard to explain. It's very...
Is she older than you?
1 year old.
Okay, that's not
56. It's just 57.
Okay, this is a lifelong challenge that your family has faced.
And she, after that, he remarried. He have another children, and they're professional, all of that, and they're doing well, but they don't know about it.
Well. So, you know, part of the progression here is that it obviously something occurred in your sister's life that had a dramatic impact on her. I think it's
and me as well.
Yes, and I think it's really important to believe that this did occur, whatever it was that she felt that she remembers, something occurred. However she remembers it, something had to have occurred in order for all of this damage to have been done. But it's also at a point where you would be able to and can really just remove this energy out of your body, out of your system. It's a question of releasing it and letting it go. You know, so that's part of what you need to be able to do is to...
How I do that? It's kind of hard for me.
It's hard. It's hard, but it's also by paying attention to how it's being perpetuated. So it's being perpetuated through thoughts. It's being perpetuated through reliving things that occurred in the past. Mm-hmm. And so if something occurred and a certain feeling arose from that, and then an hour later, the same feeling arises, and then an hour later the same feeling arises, and then a year later the same feeling arises, you're not living in now, you're living in that time of long ago.
But you're talking about perfection of a spirit. How can you do that?
First of all, I want you to listen.
Yes.
Okay. And the first, it's not something that happens necessarily overnight. Mm-hmm. But the first stage is to pay attention and to discover in what ways it's being continued. So mm-hmm. any time that you recognize that you are thinking about it, that you're worrying about it, that you are feeling something about it, then it's important to take note of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to remind yourself that you are not living in now. So it's as if you were perpetually putting your hand in the fire. You know, okay. I'm putting my hand in the fire. I'm putting my hand in the fire. Oh, it burns. Let me put my hand back in the fire. And so thoughts are like that. Mm-hmm. Thoughts are the fire that perpetuate the feelings of the past. And so it's important first to pay attention to what you're doing and how it's occurring, and then begin to, once you acknowledge it, you begin to counter it. So you don't just allow the passive to be passive in the face of this habitual thinking pattern.
And move forward.
Yeah. You have to say, oh, I'm having these thoughts again. Let mm-hmm. me stop it.
It really is bothering me a lot because I feel her pain.
But you have to understand that you can only help her once you've healed yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to heal yourself first. And you have to let go of that energy in that past. And begin to live as yourself now. And from that state of wholeness, you can begin to help her. But you can't help her by feeling sorry for her and by feeling bad along, you know, because it's like guilt. Oh, she's bad. I must be feeling bad too. That it doesn't work that way. It has to be acknowledging her suffering. You don't put it down. You don't deny it. Acknowledge it. But you have to draw the line and allow yourself to heal. And once you've reached a state of being in greater health, then that in itself will begin to heal her.
That's so wonderful. I really appreciate your advice. You are wonderful. I would like to have you as my sister.
Well, thank you. That's
that
very kind.
Very, very clever from you, that advice. Very nice. Psychological wise, you're very, very smart. And I give you 10% of your knowledge. You're very wonderful.
Thank you very much. Don't embarrass me. I gotta go now. Bye bye.
Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. Bye bye. Okay, 212-209-2950, and you're listening to WBAI in New York. I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Paulette Spencer, and we've been speaking of spirituality and looking at some of the issues of healing the self, self-perfection as presented by cosmic awareness. And I have to think that there is some greater force at work, allowing, you know, certain connections to be made, phone calls. I mean, it's very vulnerable. You know, people are very vulnerable, and you You want to honor that. The number here is 212-209-2900. Almost gave out the pledge line. Just caught myself. 212-209-2900 is the number if you have a thought or a question or want to talk about your concept of spirit and spirituality. You can certainly join us with your phone calls. And for those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to WBAI in New York. This is Earth at Midnight. We're on through 1:30, and then Hour of the Wolf will be coming up beyond that. So we do hope that you give us a call, 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900, while I try to find a nice piece of music to add to our repertoire for this evening. What should we play? Moody Blues?
Sure. It's a little long, but
okay, that's all right. See how that goes. Hold on.
Press 1.
Oh, there you are. Hello? You're on the air. Are you there?
2 0 1 2 6 8.
Hello?
8 9.
I don't know what that is. We'll try it again. Hello?
And positive energy works and heals as well as music. Thank you for using text to landline.
Hello? Hello? Okay. I didn't quite get that. It sounded like it was a special phone of some kind or an interesting commentary. The number is 212-209-2900.
I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life.
that you say it when you do those things to me. It's more the way you really mean it when you tell me what will be.
Oh, you're on the air?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I miss Mr. Nice Enthusiasm. And I try to get enthused about going on a trip, and I get fearful about going on a plane, mainly because I'll feel claustrophobic. Can you give a thought on that? Do you have any suggestions about how to get calm when... Because even when I think about getting ready for a trip, my body just starts to get a fright running through the body.
Wow. Are you afraid of anything in particular or just the closeness of the cabin?
Yeah, the closeness of the cabin and feeling trapped. Like sometimes when I'm on the train going to New York City, too, they might have a problem and say, we got to sit here, and now they don't have windows that open anymore.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it just has that feeling of confinement. And I was wondering if you think the emotional tapping would work, or...
It could work. The emotional tapping could work. Have you tried it?
Yeah, at different times. You know, it seems to work.
Okay. Well, you have your solution. I was going to suggest breathing, deep breathing.
Breathing. Mm-hmm. See, we have to be reminded of this.
No, really, because when we get nervous, the breath gets shallower and shallower and shallower. And, yeah. You know, we're sort of hyperventilating when we get really nervous. You don't get oxygen. And when you don't get oxygen, then physiologically your body begins to change. Mm. And then those changes will add to your nervousness. So very often just a deep breathing and relaxation will calm your body down. So I would suggest you take a few meditation tapes with you or CDs or whatever.
Yeah.
And do some deep breathing and eventually look into what is underlying your claustrophobic tendencies and what's that related to, you know, because a lot of these things can be related to early life experiences, they can be related to past life experiences, or they could just be, you know, who you are now, not liking the situation. I mean, I don't like crowds. I went once to Times Square on New Year's Eve and swore never to do it again. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with me. It's just that it's a really bad experience.
Right, that's how I get with the crowds, too.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes it's just being gentle with yourself and giving yourself a little bit of space to relax within, you
and
know.
How about, oh, I like that you told me that, because then I'll remember to breathe. And sometimes when you reach out for suggestions, then it stays in the mind better.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is, if one has a fear of success, can you think of the remedy for that?
A fear of success.
I'm noticing a pattern that when I sabotage something, just when I'm reaching for it.
I believe that's quite common. It's really very common. I'll have to give it some thought. So stay tuned, and I'll give that some thought. I don't have a ready remedy for fear of success.
Yeah, because it's just this open receptivity I want, so I feel relaxed to receive.
Mm-hmm. You know, success comes with a lot of extra responsibilities, and success comes with the capacity to think of yourself, to think of oneself in that state of, I won't say perfection, but, you know, you would need a capacity to think of yourself and feel yourself in that state of success. And so it may be making you feel claustrophobic, just like the airplane does.
Right, just feeling frightened of it.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'll give it some thought. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. All right, bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, who knew? The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-295. Nope, that's the pledge line. I slipped. 2900. 212-209-2900. Fear of success. You know, I think part of that is thinking about it too much as an isolated thing. You know, it's coming to me. You know, success as if it's anything other than being who you are. And I think, you know, when sometimes you look at success as if you have to convert yourself into something else in order to actually have success or to deserve success. But if you are following your inner guidance, your own bliss, reaching through your own life, that is successful. It may be that the image of what success is can be so objectionable that you don't really want it. So for instance, when I look at certain figures, I mean, one could look at President Obama as a successful person. He's a president. But would I want that job? No, I wouldn't want that job. If I look at, you know, someone in a big corporation, you know, a big business person with all these people around them and they're telling them what to do, and do I want that? No. And so it may be identifying what success means for you individually and valuing who and what you are. And, you know, so success is kind of a judgment. It's not a thing. It's a judgment. So
it's very subjective.
It's subjective and it's a judgment. This person's successful, that person's not successful, based on what? And so it's such a confusing, judgmental state that it can create fear and confusion, I believe. And it involves stepping into something that doesn't make sense. From my perspective, if you're not really identifying what success means to you. So from my perspective, success could be writing a story, because I love creative writing, so I might write a story. To me, that's a success. I guess getting it published is a different kind of success. But, you know, it's a question of looking at your life and defining what is meaningful to you and understanding in what ways you are already successful, and then looking at those things that may be blocking you from what it is that you desire or in some way want for yourself, and not look at it in terms of success.
I think also, it's maybe another way of saying what you're saying is it's to really know what your truth is and to follow it.
Yeah, and then success will follow you.
Right.
Most likely, if you're doing that.
What I believe.
It's very likely, right? Generally, that's the way it is. When you follow your passion, when you follow your calling, when you're doing something that you can be absorbed in and joyful about, to me, that's success. And when you are engaging in that way, you're bringing an exuberant energy to it that's more likely to have it blossom into something, and which is more likely to bring what some people might think of as success.
I agree, and I would also add that I think success
requires a certain level of perseverance and patience and sense of direction. And sometimes it's just easier said than done.
It's easier said than done, and it's also subjective in terms of the conditions around you.
Yes.
You know, so if you trained to be a kindergarten teacher and there are no kindergarten positions, that's relatively, you know, it's a restrictive situation. So, yeah, it's. I'm also thinking, though, that fear of success in some ways is fear of living and fear of life. If that makes any sense. And because it would seem that you're afraid of being successful, but it may be just fear of going full tilt, like you were saying, into life with the commitment of living.
And possibly a sense of risk, because any time that you endeavor on something that where you don't necessarily know what the outcome will be, that involves taking a risk.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know and you're just going to have to find out.
Or you stay where you are and you... So what it's feeling like is like the fear of success is not big enough to really explore what could be going on with that thought. It, you know, like you said, it could be the fear of risk or the reticence to take a risk. I'll give it some more thought. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900 if you would like to join us with your phone calls. That's the number, 212-209-2900.
Oh my, oh my God, I hear my mind, I got a slipping suicide, singing oh my, oh my God, I hear my mind, I got a slipping genocide, singing oh.
You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. We're looking for a piece to play as we're reaching towards the final moments of today's program. And we are close to the end of this evening's program. We do invite you to tune in again next Wednesday at midnight for myself and Paulette Spencer. And we also want you to participate and honor Robert Knight at his memorial coming up. You want to give that information again, Paulette?
Yes, this public tribute to Robert Knight will take place on Saturday, March 28th, at the Riverside Theater, which is located at 91 Claremont Avenue near 120th Street. And the theater is inside of Riverside Church. And we will have a reception at 6:30 p.m., and the program will start at 7, and there'll be many speakers and live music and video clips of Robert, and it should be a very festive occasion. And we welcome you.
That's right. So be sure to send an email to thenightreport@gmail.com, thenightreport@gmail.com, or you can check the website. We will be putting up a link so that you can make that connection. And it should be a very wonderful event, and we are looking forward to it, and we hope that you are as well. And for those of you who do want to make that connection, you can find out more about the work that I do in the world. I'm Catherine Davis, and I am a Qigong teacher, energy healer, spiritual doula, and I teach practices for healing and self-transformation. You can go to the website qigongonline.net. Now that spells Qigong, but it's Q. Qigongonline.net, qigongonline.net. You'll actually find meditations there, videos, audios, and you will see things that you can do right away. You could go there, find a meditation to help you relax, find a meditation to uplift. So they're right there on the website, free and available. And for those of you who would like to attend an actual meditation class, you can connect with me through that website, or you can call 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. And you might also connect through heartofmindradio.com. That's heartofmindradio.com. And that will give you a chance to connect with all that's happening in my world. And Paulette, just one more time, give out that date and address. It's
Saturday, March 28th. At the Riverside Theater, which is inside Riverside Church. This is at 91 Claremont Avenue, near 120th Street, right near Columbia University. Reception at 6:30 p.m. Program starts at 7.
And this is a public memorial for Robert Knight. Stay tuned. Coming up, Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by. Should crumble just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. First time in a long time. My name is Jim Freund. This is a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, and related fields of endeavor. We have a wonderful live guest, long-time listeners may very well remember, Leanna Renee. But also, after that, this is The Obelus. Journey of the Sorcerer, it's called. I just call it 42. Yesterday was Douglas Adams' birthday. Hitchhikers to the Galaxy theme. I had no idea it was the Eagles. Journey of the Sorcerer. Who knew? Well, Douglas knew. I guess.
I did not.
Yeah. Douglas, I'll tell the story briefly because we have a live guest here and we'll be dealing with Douglas after I leave on recording. But in late 1978, our station manager informed me that there was a fellow from the BBC coming to several of the Pacifica stations. And it was science fiction, sci-fi, which at the time I considered a derogatory word. And he said, you know, you take care of this guy. And, you know, what does he do? Oh, he's script editor of something called Doctor Who.
That little thing called Doctor Who.
Yeah. And he had recently finished broadcasting in England a radio series that he had created entitled The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, all of you listeners out there, sit down, shut up. The book came later. The book came 2 years later. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is one of the best radio dramas ever, period, bar none. There's Orson Welles. Then there's the Fire Sign Theater, and then there's Douglas Adams. Okay,
I am not arguing.
Yeah, I am yelling at the listeners.
You are, yes.
I'm
and
ranting.
I'm with you. I'm on your side.
And at the BBC and WBAI had a very good relationship. We used to broadcast The Goon Show and all kinds of things. We get that stuff for free, and then the BBC got a taste. They got a taste from NPR, and they got a taste from PBS. And it was getting the BBC money besides the license they get out of the British public. So how would we get Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? They something like $3,000 an episode with one rebroadcast, and that was it.
Wow.
And there were very, very few places in the United States. Nobody was willing to play it. And besides, you had to have a BBC transcription player, which was a turntable, which instead of playing the usual 12-inch discs, would play these special 14-inch discs. Well, in New York City, only WBAI and WRVR, that was the radio station of the Riverside Church, which Catherine was just talking about for the memorial for Robert Knight.
Mm-hmm.
That place, RVR, is alas no longer with us. Darn good listener-sponsored radio station. Mm-hmm. Tried to become commercial First Amendment radio. Great experiment. Didn't work.
Mm.
Good jazz. Better than BGO. So Douglas came here, and I got to interview him for Hour of the Wolf. And he was saying, yes, he had just become script editor of Doctor Who. But he had been doing some other stuff. I didn't know who he was previously, by the way. And he was doing some other stuff, and he created this radio series, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And he's on to something.
It would be a shame if any of them got lost, says he.
Yep.
And he accidentally, when he left 6 BBC transcription discs.
Dun, dun, dun.
And thus Hour of the Wolf became the first place to broadcast The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in the United States. Now, it was pirated.
Yep.
The pirate was Douglas Adams.
Yep.
Get him if you can, BBC.
How about that?
I defy you.
How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was a neat guy. I met him about 3 or 4 times after that.
Wow.
He did Hour of the Wolf about 3 or 4 times. And later on this morning, on recording, I will tell you the whole story of him and Starship Titanic and how he owed me an interview and how I blame Apple for his death, Steve Jobs specifically.
Well,
it's BS.
Well, but who am I to judge?
Well, very quickly, Douglas had created this game Starship Titanic, which he wrote with Terry Jones and Eric Idle and people like that. A
couple of those guys.
Yeah, they were doing voices on it. Terry Jones wrote the novelization of it. It was a tough, tough game, but it was fun. It's okay to cheat. And there was a big launch party, and we did an interview there at the launch party, part of which we will be broadcasting later on this morning. And, and Douglas went out to the West Coast. He was in negotiations with Walt Disney, which at the time was not producing good stuff like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted his script of the movie of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which he had been pushing for years and years and years. All stars. I don't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Big director, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It would have been awful. It would have been bloody awful.
Mm.
Now, in the meantime, Starship Titanic was supposed to come out, and Douglas worshipped his Macintosh. The first Hitchhiker's book is dedicated to his Mac. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He was a fanatic. He was wrong.